Commit our time, please, to the Lord, a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to thee this evening and through our Saviour's precious and most worthy name. And again, we thank the Lord for the goodness of God that finds us here in thy house this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to praise thee and to worship thee aright. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 94, the words will be on the screen as we commence our service this evening. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? This is sung by special request at our organist. And so Gillian's asked we sing this one, and we sing it to a slightly different tune, and tune I'm sure we will know. But maybe, Gillian, you play through that tune, and we'll have a wee listen to it, and then we'll give it a go. Okay, lovely tune, and so we'll stand as we sing this. You're following in the hymn book, you repeat the last line of the verse and the chorus. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please.
Let's stand. Jesus is standing.
Thank you.
Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord in a word of prayer. As we commit our time to the Lord, let's pray for his presence and for his help as we come to this meeting tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy holy presence this evening. Lord, again, we thank thee for the access that we have to thee in prayer. We come, O God, the way of the cross tonight, for Lord, there is no other way. Lord, we thank thee tonight that we can come to thee through the finished work of our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, for the one who died for us there at that place called Calvary. We thank thee, O God, tonight for the precious blood that was shed. And O Heavenly Father, we praise thee this evening that there is victory in the cross work of Christ. We praise thee, Lord, tonight that there is victory for us in Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for each one in this meeting who through Christ have known victory over sin, who through the Lord Jesus Christ have known what it is, Lord, to have the assurance of pardon from sin and peace with God. But, O God, we pray tonight for those in this place still out of Christ, for those listening online still far from thee. O God, they have that decision to make tonight. They're faced again with the great question, what will I do with him? And Heavenly Father, we pray this evening that those who have rejected thee for all of these years, for those who have turned away from thee, Lord, that this night they would turn to thee. Lord, that they would come repent of their sin. And Lord, that this night they might come to thee by faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you'll speak. We ask, O God, that on this Easter Sunday evening, we pray, Lord, that you'll make it a blessed night, a holy night, Lord, in the hearts, Lord, of those who have come into this place out of Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll make it a life-changing night, a night when they'll be taken out of the darkness of sin and brought into new life in Jesus Christ. Our Father, we look to thee this evening. Give help, O God, we pray, in every part of this meeting. Remember, Kirsten, as she'd come and minister to us in song, we pray, Lord, you'll bless her. And Lord, be with her this evening. We ask, O God, that she'll know great help even as she would minister. Lord, we pray that you'll bless her richly this evening. For thy servant as he'd come and open the scriptures to her hearts. Lord, give him that help again that he needs. And O God, we pray that tonight we all might know that we're in thy presence. And Lord, that we all will see thee afresh this evening. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless our coming together. Remember all who have been enabled to gather in the house of the Lord today. We thank thee, Lord, for the goodness of God that finds us here. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell, Lord, those who are not able to gather out publicly, we pray, Lord, that you'll meet them at the point of need. Watch over them, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for the cold and the careless, for those, Lord, who once walked well with thee, and yet, Lord, tonight they're far from thee. Minister to them, speak to their hearts, and bring them to thyself, O God, we pray. Lord, we ask, O God, for the preaching of the word of God across our land and across our nation, and yea, Lord, across this world. Bless the going forth of the gospel of Christ. For Lord, we thank thee tonight that no matter what language or tongue, the gospel goes forth, and we thank thee that it is still the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. O God, we pray that tonight you'll grant, Lord, the gifts of faith and repentance. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight the church of Jesus Christ will be built up, and Lord, that sinners will be brought to thyself. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us tonight, we pray. And Lord, we pray for everything that would take place, Lord, that in all and through all may thy name be honored and glorified. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're delighted this evening to welcome our sister Kirsten, Kirsten McMullen, from Mulleglass this evening. We're glad to have you, Kirsten. I'm going to ask you to come and minister to us in song, and the Lord richly bless you.
There'll be hilltops I'll have to climb, and rivers I'll have to cross. There'll be trials that I won't understand. But there will always be grace sufficient for me until he comes again, until he comes, I will love him, though I may not see my broken heart and bitter tears are good for me, and the darkest valley may be left to walk before I'm home, but I'll take it to Calvary until he comes. There'll be times I'll be all alone, and dark nights I might cry, and I'll wonder if I'll ever smile again. But I refuse to turn around or lay this armor down until he comes again, until he comes, I will love him, though I may not see my broken heart, and bitter tears are good for me. But I'll take it to Calvary until he comes. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, and no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Kirsten, thank you so much for those lovely messages and song so beautifully to us tonight. We want to thank you for your help tonight. We'll hear from you in just a wee moment, give you a moment to catch your breath and ask you to come back again, but certainly been blessed by Kirsten's ministry tonight. This stage, I want to welcome everyone along to our meeting, to our gospel service this evening. We welcome you in the Saviour's name and thank you for being with us tonight. I know it's a holiday time, and over the past few years, people couldn't get away at holiday times, and you were stuck in, and so others are taking the advantage now of being able to get away, but we're glad you're here, and thank you for being with us this evening, and we welcome you all in the Saviour's name. We have visitors with us tonight, and we welcome you as well, and you're very, very welcome. Pray the Lord will bless you, and you feel at home amongst us here tonight in Sandown. But to welcome you all tonight, also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. Now, boys and girls, if you didn't get an Easter egg this morning, do remember there's an Easter egg for you. And even if you did get one this morning, take another one. It'll be fine, don't worry. And any big boys and girls that want to take any, it's just on a first-come, first-served basis. And yes, Billy, if there's one for you, yes, make sure there's one for Billy. We don't want to get in your wrong books. So there's plenty there, and take them with you this evening, please. If I could also remind the Explorers Club workers, if you could wait behind just very, very quickly this evening for a moment afterwards tonight. Also, over in the Martyrs tonight, there's an after-church youth rally at 9 o'clock, and the Reverend Higginson will be the preacher at that youth rally. Then Monday, tomorrow, at 7 p.m., that sees the concluding meeting of the Easter Convention weekend, again in the Martyrs, and the moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong, will be the preacher tomorrow night at 7, and others will be taking part as well. And so you're welcome to that final meeting of the Easter Convention weekend at 7 p.m. in the Martyrs. Then on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we'll meet here in the church for our time of Bible study and season of prayer, and our brother Adam will be speaking this Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, 10:15, our Sunday school and our Bible class, 11:30, morning worship service, and 6:30, then the gospel service, the seasons of prayer beforehand as well, and the Sunday school over in Hollywood at 2:30. Preacher at both of the meetings next Sunday will be our brother, Mr. Stephen Kyle, from our Ballinhinch Church. And also next Sunday evening, our sister Victoria Salt will be here to sing. On Thursday, the 28th of April, our sister Joy Gillespie will be here on a deputation meeting. And we trust that you'll be able to join with us for that meeting. I'll say to you now that that meeting won't be broadcast. We always broadcast our midweek meetings as well, but that meeting, because of the security situation, will not be broadcast, and I trust that you'll understand that. So I trust you'll come and be with us and enjoy the report that our sister brings of her work there in Nepal. Then on Friday, the 29th of April, that's the installation ordination service for our brother Matthew Higgins, who was with us for a time while he was in Bible College. And he has been installed as the new minister of the church in Limavady. But that meeting will take place not in Limavady, but rather in Macrofelt. Macrofelt Free Church, Friday the 29th of April at 8 p.m. And you're all invited to attend that meeting. Do remember as well then the change of prayer meeting night here in Sandown from the start of April. Tuesday the 3rd of April, that will see the prayer meeting change from Thursday night to a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, so please do bear that in mind. Also remember our mission in Dundonald and Donald Orange Hall from the 16th to the 20th of May. Please be much in prayer for that time of gospel outreach. A lot of work to be done in preparation for that, but also remember the meetings as well for those 5 nights, Dundonald Orange Hall, and we appreciate the Orange Men giving us again the use of their hall for this gospel mission. That's the 16th to the 20th of May. There are no offerings being lifted, but the boxes are there as you leave if you wish to place your offerings or tithes as you leave tonight. There are still a number of copies of this CD, double CD, that was produced by our brother Desi Coffey, and all the proceeds will go to the work in Ukraine. It's priced £15, and take one with you. We do not buy or sell on the Lord's Day, but you can see either William or Richard. All the money goes to the Ukraine fund, and you can pay them at another time. Please don't put the money just in the box loose, because then we'll not know that it's for the Ukraine fund. But if you take one, then do see William or Richard, and you can pay for that at another stage. I think these are all the announcements, and they are all made subject to the will of the Lord. I'm going to ask our sister Kirsten to come and minister again for us. Thank you, and the Lord bless you. Thank you.
It is a call of God to thee. Oh, leave thy all and follow me. Go through with God thy vows to pay, thy friendship's call, and home is dear. I lonely was the path he trod, then wilt thou not go through with God? So soon eternal morn shall dawn. How fast the night is hastening on. So soon his lovely face to see. How sad to empty handed be. Go thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. The price, it's high, severe the test for those who would enjoy God's best. Surrender all, then take the road with those who will go. Go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. And bring to thee
Kirsten, again, thank you so much for being with us this evening. Certainly blessed by your ministry and song, and thank you for your help tonight in the gospel. Certainly been a blessing to our hearts. We welcome back to our congregation this evening, the Reverend Timothy Nelson. We're glad that he is well enough and able to be with us again tonight. We want to thank him for coming, not only tonight, but also this morning. Certainly his word was a word in season to our hearts, and we were blessed and challenged by it. And we want to thank him for giving of his time to be with us this evening. He ministers in another part of the city, in the south of the city, over there in Donegal Avenue in Tyndale Memorial, and is also the principal of the Whitfield College of the Bible. He had the unenviable task of trying to teach me Greek in college, and teaching a Tyrone man another language is a challenge, but he did his very best, and that's all you can do is do your very, very best. I did too, but there you go. We are delighted to have him, and we want to thank him for being with us again this evening. Pray the Lord will bless him as he comes now and brings the Word of God to us. Thank you.
Can I ask you to turn in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew, please? Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 26. Well, the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 26. I will discreetly pass over the reference to the Greek class and not make any comment about whether I was successful or not in that enterprise. Well, I should be honest, I suppose. Mr. Wilson was a very good student and gave no difficulty whatsoever. And it's good to renew fellowship with him. I thank him for the invitation. Come along. It's always good to be back in Sandown. Appreciate very much the opportunities we've had over the years to be here and the encouragement of God's people in this congregation. And it's a joy to be here. I'm glad I can be here today. And as I said this morning, I regret that I wasn't able to come on Thursday evening, but that's out of my control, really. But it's good to be here today, and we trust the Lord will come near and be a blessing as we spend this time together tonight. So Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 26, we're going to move down the chapter towards the halfway point and break in to read tonight at the verse 36. Matthew 26 and the verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. We'll end the reading at verse 46 this evening. We trust and pray that the Lord will add of his own blessing to the public reading of his precious word. We'll have a moment's prayer as we come to the word just now, praying the Lord will come near and grant us his help. Our Father and our God, we bow in thy holy presence again tonight, and we do return thee thanks for all that has taken place already in this gathering. Thank thee for focusing our minds and hearts upon the Savior and upon the work of his cross. And we pray that he will be at the center of our gathering still. We think of those words given to us in Scripture, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord? Our Father, we pray tonight that we might see the Lord, that he will be here with us. So help us, Lord, to that end. Give divine enablement. Speak to me and speak through me. Use me according to thy will. We ask it now in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight, I take you back 135 years. The scene is the Metropolitan Tabernacle, London. The preacher's words were delivered to a hushed congregation. "Dear friends," he said, "I am going to preach to you again upon the cornerstone of the gospel." How many times will this make, I wonder? The doctrine of Christ crucified is always with me. As the Roman sentinel in Pompeii stood to his post, even when the city was destroyed, so do I stand to the truth of the atonement, though the church is being buried beneath the boiling mud showers of modern heresy. Everything else can wait, but this one truth must be proclaimed with a voice of thunder. Others may preach as they will, but as for this pulpit, it shall always resound with the substitution of Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my friends, what Mr. Spurgeon preached then, we preach still. The blessed truth of Jesus Christ, the sin bearer, who came for one purpose, to die for the redemption of his people. And so we are drawn once again to the Garden of Gethsemane. As we look upon this solemn prelude to the work of the cross, let us observe three telling characteristics in respect of the Redeemer. Three things I want you to notice as we focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ in the closing moments of this meeting. First of all, I'd like you to see that there is here divine revulsion. Divine revulsion. In what sense may we speak of divine revulsion? Revulsion. Well, in the Savior's attitude towards the awful sin he was to bear to the cross, oh, the intolerable evil of that sin. Just think of it. Think of it, Christian friend. I wonder, do you recall anything of how it was when you were awakened, when first you were convinced and convicted of sin, when you recognized your sin as vile and wicked and inexcusable? Consider that multitude on the day of Pentecost. We are given the account of what took place on that remarkable day in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We have a summary of the message that Peter preached on that occasion. We don't have the message in its entirety because Luke tells us that there were other things that he said. But we have a summary of the message, and we have the response to that message given to us in Acts 2. If we come right to the end there at verse 36, Acts 2:36, here is Peter finishing off. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Then we have it. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were so struck by the message. They were smitten through with conviction. What must we do? What do we have to do to make it right? If sinful creatures are brought to such an affecting apprehension of sin, how much more the sinless Christ, who knew no sin, but is now called to bear all the sin of his people? Now let's remind ourselves tonight that he saw sin in its natural blackness. He saw its treacherous assault upon his Father. He saw its murderous hatred toward himself. He saw its destructive, damning influence upon all mankind. Well might he say, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Oh, the weight. The awful weight of such a burden. Dear soul, yet outside of Christ, if only you might begin to see your sin as it really is. Begin to understand why the righteous wrath of a holy God rests upon you. There's a very instructive portion in the Old Testament prophecy of Ezekiel. It is found in the chapter 36 of that prophecy, Ezekiel 36. This is one of those chapters that reveals to us something of what will take place when the Lord works in restoration in respect of the people of Israel. And if we look at Ezekiel 36 for a moment and move towards the end of that chapter, we have this striking statement in verse 31. Ezekiel 36:31 says, then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. There is a picture of what it means to be convicted of sin, to begin to see and to understand and to realize what it is to be a sinner in the sight of a holy God. I ask you tonight, have you been there? Do you know anything of that? Such discoveries are the prelude to a gracious deliverance. And of course, if we think of the context here in Ezekiel 36, we will find that to be so. There are wonderful words that come just before the verse that we have highlighted, verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And here, of course, we have the most wonderful picture of what happens when God steps into a human life and makes that life all over again. If any man be in Christ, the Scripture says, he is a new creature. And here we have so many aspects of that redeeming work displayed for us in the lines we have just read. I ask you again tonight, do you know anything of it? May I suggest that the divine revulsion towards wretched, God-defying sin is what prompted the memorable prayer of the Savior. You think of that prayer. We have referred to it briefly earlier today in Matthew's Gospel. If you look at the verses for a moment or two, verse 39, what did he say? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Similar words in the verse 42, and the same words we are told in verse 44. Now, this is a remarkable prayer. We are at a point of mystery, and not a little controversy. When we come to focus on these words, I do not know if it is possible to fathom the depths of this episode so as to satisfy the inquiries of every questioning mind. I doubt it. But I give you the following by way of comment as we think of how the Savior prayed. I emphasize to you tonight that nowhere in the Gospels do I find but a particle of desire in Christ to escape from what was necessary to accomplish our redemption. There's no hint of that. There's never a word of reluctance or hesitancy. There is no wavering whatsoever. We're here in Matthew chapter 26, and if you retrace your steps a little way, go back to the earlier part of the chapter. Notice how the verse 24 begins. He says, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him." In other words, the Son of Man is going as it is written of him. There's the Savior's determination to pursue this work to its end. And of course, we see that everywhere in the gospel record. Over in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 9 and the verse 51, "It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." There's no reluctance there. And then a page or two over, chapter 12 of the same Gospel, the words of the verse 50, he says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" He's not turning aside from this work in any shape or form. And then, of course, in John's account of the episode that we have in front of us here this evening, John's Gospel 18, and this is what comes immediately after the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll recall the episode where impetuous Peter pulled out his sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And we have the Savior's words to Peter in verse 11 of John 18, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" There's the determination of the Savior to go to the end with this. Once again, we have identified something of the divine revulsion of Christ, the horror that fell upon him as he contemplated being made sin for us. Richard Baxter, one of the notable Puritans, said this. He said, "The agony was not from the fear of death, but from the deep sense of God's wrath against sin, which he, as our sacrifice, was to bear." Matthew Hale was the Lord Chief Justice in England in the middle part of the 17th century, the golden age of Puritanism. Hale was the foremost lawyer of his generation. And he put it like this. He said, "Christ stood under the imputation of all our sins. And though he was personally innocent, yet judicially and by way of imputation, he was the greatest offender that ever was. As an imputed sin drew with it the obligation to punishment, so it did raise all those storms in the soul of Christ as it would have done in the person of a sinner." Just think of that statement. All those storms in the soul of Christ. And I say to you, dear friend, as we fix our gaze tonight upon the Garden of Gethsemane and what took place there, we're seeing precisely that, those storms that arose in the soul of Christ. And what we have in front of us tonight, of course, cannot be divorced from the description of the Savior's sensitivity to sin, what it is and what it deserves, a sensitivity that is so keen as to be altogether unknown to any one of us. Because we are sinners, and he was not. And of course, the prayer that he offered here in the Garden of Gethsemane was answered. The prayers of the Savior are heard. As we said this morning, they're always heard. And surely we have reference to this over in the Epistle to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5 and the words of the verse 7. We read that in the days of his flesh he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Should the Savior have sought release from what lay before him by praying as he did, it is plain that his prayer was not answered. For he did go to the cross. He did suffer all the weight of his Father's just wrath. So what is he asking then in this prayer? Might it not be, as Mr. Spurgeon suggests, that he might be delivered from that dreadful despondency which had lately come upon him? That depression of soul which hovered over him in those critical moments, and we've seen the references to it. We see it in Matthew, we see it in Mark, we see it in Luke as well. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He began to be sore amazed, the scripture says. He was very heavy. And so he prayed that he might not be overwhelmed and overcome by this doleful spirit, understandable though it was, and his prayer was answered. He was strengthened, and he continued his relentless journey to Calvary and to the cross. Even though in him, in his perfect and holy being, there was a revulsion to sin. And there still is, of course. Divine revulsion. But of course, there's also divine submission. It's almost a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Divine submission. That he who was very God of very God, albeit manifest in human flesh, that he should submit to anyone or anything. But of course, when he says, "Not my will, but thine be done," it is but the climax to a life of submission to the will of the Father. His priority was to live out the mission statement taken from Psalm 40 and cited over in Hebrews. And you'll know the verse, I'm sure many of you tonight. You go to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter 10 and to those words that we find in the verse 7. "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Those words are messianic. I come to do thy will, O God. As I say, they're taken from the Psalm 40, and there is an interesting statement in the context of that psalm. Looking at it earlier in the week, the Psalm 40, and the words are found in the verse 6 of the psalm. Psalm 40, verse 6 says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." Just notice that little expression there at the heart of the 6th verse. "Mine ears hast thou opened." In ancient Israel, when a servant resolved to serve his master permanently, there was a procedure in place to regularize that. You read of that procedure back in Exodus chapter 21 and the words of the verse 6. "Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door," or unto the doorpost, "and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." You see, the opened ear meant permanent submission to the master. I suppose, of course, the ear is open then to hear what the master will command. The Lord Jesus Christ was ready to do whatever the Father required in order to the redemption of his people. Oh, understand that tonight as you fix your gaze upon the Savior there in the garden, as you see him wending his way to the cross, he was prepared to do whatever had to be done. He's prepared to be the bearer of human sin, to be made sin. To be made sin. Would we ever dream of uttering such words were they not brought before us in Holy Scripture? He has been made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yes, he who knew no sin has been made sin for us. And so the words of Isaiah were to be fulfilled, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it is to all of this that Christ is now submitting, to be the substitute accepted by divine justice, to be the bearer of divine wrath, to be looked upon as standing in the place of the sinner and treated as that sinner had every right to be treated. And listen, I say to you tonight, he did it willingly. He did it of his own volition. He was not driven to the cross. The end that is pictured for us in the gospel record is not a tragedy. That's how the world views it. Almost inevitably, you'll hear it said at this time of the year when people come to focus upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a tragedy that it should all end in this way. Such an unfortunate end to a noble life. That's how the world styles it. But what we have in front of us this evening is the Savior fulfilling an eternal destiny, bowing to the sovereign will of his Father in heaven, doing it willingly. How beautifully that is pictured in Isaiah's prophecy. And again, many will be familiar with those words in Isaiah 53, and especially for our purpose, the words of verse 7. We read that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Oh, what an example of resignation to the will of an all-knowing and all-wise Father. And of course, this is the most immense challenge to those of us who are now the children of that Father. Are we so ready to yield to the purposes and plans of him who only ever wills the best for us? Are we always ready to stand before God and say, "Not my will, but thine be done"? I mean, I'm speaking to some person in this meeting this evening. And you're conscious of some way in which the Lord has put his hand upon you and dealt with you. Maybe the Lord has opened a path in respect of your life and your future, and you have resisted his bidding. Are you prepared to bow in submission before him this evening and acknowledge that it's no longer about your will, but about his? Divine revulsion, divine submission. And then as we come towards the end, there is divine compassion here. Believers sometimes join heart and voice to say, "We love him because he first loved us." And oh, what love it is. What love it is. Here is the compassion of our beloved Savior, the matchless love of Christ, who for your sakes and mine would not merely suffer in body, but consent to bear the horror of being accounted a sinner and so come under the wrath of a holy God. Listen to the Savior's own words. We have them over there in John's Gospel and the chapter 15, the words of the verse 13. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That is sweet, isn't it? Well, here's Paul's take on that. just a little way over here in the New Testament, the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, the chapter 5 and the words of verse 6, we read, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, we had no claim upon him. We were not his friends. We were his enemies. But he died for us. And Paul continues in verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." What amazing love. Unspeakably amazing. And of course, the conclusion to this remarkable episode in the Garden of Gethsemane is the Savior pressing on toward Calvary, striding purposefully towards that fateful hour. "Get up," he said to them. "Get up. We've got to go." No hiding. No shirking. Just moving inexorably towards that ultimate demonstration of divine love. The greatest love of all. Christian friend, in the meeting tonight, I wonder what this means to you. This divine compassion. It was Paul who said on another occasion that the love of Christ constraineth us. And of course, in those words, he's not referring to the love that we have for Christ, but rather Christ's love for us. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Are you living for him, Christian, truly? Here's Paul presenting not just a Savior who died, but who rose again, a Savior who lives. Let me ask you tonight, is he living in and through you as he might? Are you motivated and moved by his love for you? Is your heart set on him? When he wrote about the resurrection to the believers in the church at Colossae, he made it immensely practical, as he always did. And we have his words there at the head of Colossians chapter 3. Memorable words they are indeed. Colossians 3 begins by saying, "If ye then be risen with Christ," and of course I stop there for a moment to emphasize the point that the "if" there does not suggest there's any doubt about this. We might translate it, "since." "Since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affection, that is, set your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind, set your heart, set your affections on Christ. The Christ who died. The Christ who rose again. The Christ who lives. Isaac Watts had it right. "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small." Because love's so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Do you see that, Christian? Dear friend, without Christ, what does all of this say to you? that a holy, harmless, perfect Savior should endure such agony to save sinners, sinners just like you? Will you bow before him? Will you come to him in faith and repentance as he bids you to do? He is the only answer to your sin, and only then if you will receive him personally. He has done everything necessary to save you. Wherever you are tonight, whatever your circumstances, however far away from God you think yourself to be, Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to save you. But the call of the gospel is to receive him, to believe on his name. We began with Mr. Spurgeon's words. We end with them. Let Gethsemane warn you. Let its groans and tears and bloody sweat admonish you. Repent of sin and believe in Jesus. May his Spirit enable you for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Mr. Wilson.
Bow in prayer this evening. And again, we want to thank God's servant for coming and bringing God's word to us this evening. And may you see, as God's servant has spoken this evening, may you see a Savior agonizing in the garden for you, that you might be redeemed, that you might be saved, that you might be right with God. How do you stand before him tonight? Are you right with God tonight, this Easter Sunday evening? How are you? But how are you with somebody else, your family, your friends? How do you stand before the Lord? Tonight, come be right with him. He took your place. He died for you. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for help given this evening. We thank thee again for the word of God. We pray, Lord, that tonight, as we have all been brought to see the agony of our Savior, see the great love, Lord, that he had for us, that he suffered such even before, Lord, he went to the cross. There in the garden, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Oh God, we pray tonight that this evening you bring someone to that place of repentance. Bring them, oh God, away from their sin. May they see the vileness, may they see the wickedness of their sin. And Lord, may they turn tonight to Christ, the only Savior, from their sin. Lord, speak on, O God, we pray. Lord, bring the lost to thyself. Build up the people of God. Help us, Lord, to love thee and to serve thee more. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's close with the singing of Anne Cousins' great hymn, O Christ, what burdens bow thy head. Our load was laid on thee, thou stoodest in the sinner's stead. Didst bear all ill for me. Again, I want to thank the Reverend Nelson for coming and bringing the word of God to us tonight and also this morning. I pray the Lord will bless that word. And if tonight you are concerned and you have a concern about your soul, you're troubled, then why not speak to myself or the Reverend Nelson or someone else you know. Make sure tonight you're right with the Savior. We'll stand together as we sing this closing hymn, please.
Yeah.
Again, we issue the invitation. If you're concerned tonight about your soul, then come and be right with God tonight. Come. The Savior has made that full satisfaction for sin. He paid that price that you might be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for a sense of the divine presence. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for being with us. We thank thee for help given to thy servant as he ministered the word of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight we might, those who of us who know and love thee, fall afresh in love with thee. Consider thy great love toward us and all that you endured for us. And O God, we pray that tonight those who are still out of Christ, may they see a beauty in the Savior that they have never seen before. Open blinded eyes tonight, we pray. O God, we pray that for that heart of stone, give a heart of flesh tonight. O Lord, do thine own work, we ask. Lord, we leave the issues now of this meeting with thee. We ask, O God, that you would be pleased, Lord, to just speak on as the voice of man falls silent. But most of all, Lord, bring someone to thyself tonight, we pray. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now as we take our leave of the house of God. Go with us. May thy presence rest, remain, and abide upon us, Lord, this night. And Lord, every day until the Lord comes or calls. And Heavenly Father, we pray now for the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be with us and to go with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.